are holding over here, page 114, the Khuzari over here, who speaks about the distinction between the God of Avram and the God of Aristotle. A very profound piece. Omar Chava, the Chava, who is the Jew explaining to the king of the Khuzaris about Yiddishkeit. Hine Eroisa al Mokum Safag Ashali. You indicated some issue. Omnam, Ein Safag Bai. Ulong Fais Achakim Yinim Etar Loikai. Leilashiv Elov. I need to go back again to the distinction between the different ways in which Hashem comes to us, in which He projects Himself to us, and we will clarify this point. And I will try to add a mashal about the sunlight coming to us and how we are receiving it and be able to understand this point. In other words, basically what he's trying to do is find the different ways in which we perceive Hashem, understand Hashem, relate to Hashem, and he says there are two broad ways. Kihine says, Hashem is tamid achasi. There's only one sun. Achshonim him yachse gufim hana osim loira. But the objects that are lit up by the sun, illuminated by the sun, differ based on the object rather than the sun. In other words, we're assuming the sunlight is the same, and it's the object that has different properties. So when you have something that is transparent, it sort of encapsulates the entire light that it received. So when the light goes through something transparent, I mean, he says we will call it something that allows the totality of the light to shine forth. And jewels, diamonds, stones that have specific colors and facets are notzos, the mashal. We call it a shimmering light. In other words, the light, some of the light comes through, not all of it. And anything else that doesn't allow light to go through at all, we will call it a dark light. And in general, we call it light, and that's it. So this general light, in other words, light in a generic way, that's alokim, because we're at the mala. And then when we speak about the light that suffuses something, the light that becomes part of the thing itself, that we will give it a mashal to that which is transparent, and that's the Shem Hashem. So Elohim means the divine, in a sense that the divine runs everything, it moves everything, takes care of everything, and so on. But it never becomes part of the thing itself. It's something that, it's an outside thing that everything that has, that looks like something, must be in the light. But the light that sort of goes through something and becomes part of the thing itself, that's like transparent objects. And that's the Shem Vavaya. So we have Hashem Himself is the same God, but depending on who you are, is it just bouncing off you and producing a reflection, or is it becoming you and part of you? That's all going to depend on what type of object it is and who you are and so on. Now, Ha Nefasha Sahain, those souls, mikor machzavta matzoy b'adam rishon, they came from Adam Rishon, k'mo shva l'malo, o mimena nimshcha skula hileva pri dorach hador tkufa achat tkufa, and that has, and there, as if the core and the heart of what humanity is. Ve'ilu hamon bin olam hazeh, most everybody else, prat l'anshe skula, Hemuchinas klipos alam simedomos. They're like shells around it. Eloheim shall anshe leva elonikum yuchra Hashem. So the God of these people who carry the essence of humanity, which is the ability to become the Nischa b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're called, that their God is called Hashem. Va'acha shedavak Hashem elikim ba'adam, Hashem elikim ba'adam, Nischa l'achsim ha'isab reis shem Hashem elikim. Kajam ha'sei nazal, Shem ala olam alay. He said, if you look at Bria's Olam, Bria's Bar Alakim, 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 till you get to the Bria of man, and then it's the Bria's of Hashem Alakim. Because there is no shame Havaya that we can say sticks to bananas. Bananas are beings that Kashbarok made. Let's put it in different words also. Imagine if somebody... I'm an artist. I make all sorts of paintings and things and all sorts of creative stuff. And somebody has seen my handiwork, so you could say he knows a lot about me and how I work and how I operate and what I do. But he can't really say he knows me unless he connects personally to me. The entire world reflects Hashem's doing, and we see Hashem as the agent who did, accomplished, made, created, and so on. But it's not as if what Hashem is suffuses that object. A banana is a banana. A person who is not spiritually refined is a person. And there's a lot to see about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork, but not enough to be able to say what Hashem is. There's a beautiful medrash. An extraordinary medrash. It says it's on Yikavu Hamayim about the waters that were that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the waters should gather in and I'll create a world. So Chazal say that the water was being kept for the Mabul, and Chazal give a very, very peculiar marshal. They say a king had a kingdom populated, or a city, I guess a city or a palace, populated by people who couldn't speak, by mute people. And every time the king would go by, they would all gesture with their hands, and, you know, like long live the king, and the king is wonderful and great and fantastic and so on. So the king said, you know, if somebody told the king, you know, if these people who are mute are so... effusive in their praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imagine if these people could speak. So he populated, built another palace and populated with speaking, with people who could speak well and articulate. And each one began saying a little drush about himself. I'm the greatest, it belongs to me. You get out of here, and so on. The American Revolution. So the king said, okay, we're going to go back to the mute people. They do a much better job. So too, the world was water. And it says... Koyl Hashem al Amayim, Bekoyl Hashem Rab Madir Mishbei Yamadim Bar Hashem. The waters were praising. So someone said, "Well, how about making man who can talk, and then you'll really get the fantastic praise." And he made man, and they started saying, "Well, we're God, and get out of here, and we want to worship Zara." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought back the water. That's the mashal. Well, what are we talking about? What's the nimshal over here? And the answer is, there are two levels of praise coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the world. One is a general sense of who could have made such a magnificent world. And that is a mute praise, because it gestures to Hashem, but it doesn't tell us much more about what Hashem wants and what are his quote-unquote inner feelings, so to speak, what is right, what is wrong. It's just a general sense of, wow, amazing. The way gesturing could do it, it gives you a sense he's over there. You know, we gesture and point somewhere else. But there's nothing that will actually give us very, very clear definitions. So that was, and then when he created Adam, was a medaber, that meant there could be a very, very specific and clear description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a more pneumistic description. And when we misused it, we went back to water again. So here also, the Bria was all Elokim, which is a general sense of it, until Adam came about was very specific. And that's why it says Chazal say Shemole Olamole. Achin Shlemus Haolam Lo Bok in Bibriyas Adam. So everything before Adam is just a capsule in which Adam comes. Vihine says, Harayin akol b'shem elokim l'kashul kol bal seichel. Nobody argues on the concept of a creator. I guess this is a bit dated. In other words, but we need a seichel. Look around the world. Look at the extraordinary creation. Impossible. Where people start denying is most people will say, okay, of course there's a God and so on, but he's not Hashem. Because nevuah, which means God specifically telling somebody, I want this, and this is what I like, and this is what I don't like, that seems strange. And then he gives a mashal how we can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, how is it that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even understand. L'mal davar doimer. Ki'iloi b'saychein rak ish yochid roes ha-shemesh. Imagine in the country of the blind, there'd be one person who sees the sun. B'yodeas mekom z'richosev es maslul mahalcha. And he knows exactly, he sees where the sun goes. We never saw it. And we walk around in permanent darkness. We see his house is lit up because he knows how to build a house to take advantage of the sunlight. We see that his crops grow well because he knows where to plant it. And if the person say, well, that's because I can see and know where the sun goes and I sort of map my way there, we would deny it. We say, we don't know what you're talking about. Because, you know, there's no such thing as the sun. And it just happens to be that you're lucky. So he would reply and say, I will make as much light as I want, whenever I want, because I know what to do and when to do and how to do. Sort of test me. So it's sort of my belief that there's a sun is not because I see the sun directly, but hey, this guy says he sees a sun, and it's marvelous what he can do with it. He heats the house with it. He, you know, so on. So there are things that you could be toe-faced directly, and things that you toe-face via third-party events. B'shem Hashem, he says, "Hu Hashem asher yichane b'kinui panim, v'shakotzev oimer panei aleichem, ein panei cholchem." Shem of Havaya is Pnei Hashem. So Elohim, we say, okay, look around the world. Look how complex it is. Look how well orchestrated it is. Look how well it runs. What Hashem is. At this, by the way, pause a second, is something that when people ask what is the why isn't science enough to recognize God's prophet? Why do you need Torah? Let's just keep learning more science and we'll see more Hashem. And the answer is yes, but science is like that dumb, those dumb people. It tells us Hashem is magnificent and organized and brilliant and so on. But what does he want? What is it about him? Science has nothing to offer in that. So philosophers and so on can be omit on that, but what Hashem is, that varies. But he said you can't possibly understand it from any outside analysis. It's only through prophecy where you're on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's wavelength. And so on. And Ruach is a kinui for Nevuah. So he says the the only way in which a person can get a sense of what Hashem is by connecting to Him, and that's prophecy. Next paragraph. Once a person has that prophecy, he no longer has the doubts about Elohim. He will laugh at all of the rational proofs that he mustered to bring to the, about God. Imagine that someone tells me there's a Yoni Teitberg who lives in Silver Spring. So I look at the phone records, I look at registrations, I look at this, I do a lot of Sherlock Holmes legwork, and I come to the conclusion, there's a phone number registered here, then there was no longer a phone number, I guess he must have got the cell phone, but on the other hand, there's a house registered to him and this and that, and I can build up a very, very nice case that yes, indeed, I've come to the conclusion there's a Yoni Teitberg who lives here. If I meet Yoni Teitberg and I know Yoni Teitberg, then it's silly. I know it. There's a very big difference between rational, sort of conclusions and personal experience. Elohim is the result of rational conclusions. Who could have made it? How could it come? It's too complex. It's too interdependent and so on. So I reach conclusions, but personal awareness. So when people speak, and this I think it's an important thing to know, we must speak about a Muna Pshuta, and how do we build a Muna? So personal experience is definitely the best, but you need to get to it with other things a lot of times. You can't just say, I can't just jump in and say, okay, you'll have a profound experience with Davim. Versus when I smoke marijuana, I also have a profound experience. So what? Some people actually make marijuana to God, Seichel is the good first step, but it's never conclusive. Next, that's called ava, that a person is muchen limsa nafsha vasei. When I know somebody, I can bond with somebody in a way that I'm willing to bris nefesh. In his bonding with God, he finds extraordinary pleasure. And the moving away from him, so just like if somebody's matzia shidduch to somebody, and let's say I say the most wonderful things about this girl, and you believe me, so it means I'm willing to go out with her, but I'm not going to give anything for that. When you meet a girl and you bond with her, and you develop a relationship, that's when you're willing to give up for it. It's the opposite of philosophers. They look at it as a ceremony of establishing a certain truth. He says, just like we glorify the sun. Denying God is not a bad thing as much as it's a silly thing. Amar Kuzari, so the Kuzari answers back, Hinin is by Lehefesh and Elokim Hashem. You've really explained to me the difference between Elokim Hashem. Vavinosi, Marav HaMerchak, Ben Elokim Avraham Kersto. I understand this great distance between Abram's God and Aristotle's God. Kil Hashem Yisalo Mishtoikim Nodesh Yisigu Bechush. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people really want to get close to him, by said Edis Ria. Elohim is just—it's a logical construct. Mishe Siga Bechush, a person who's had the personal experience of God, Bolide Misir Snevshach Avos Elokai, he's willing to give up his life for God. Lerachonis Lamos Alel. Vila Hekish, but the people who come to it logically, Marak Zois Ki Choyv Lerachai Kol Shoshen Davim Mazik. When somebody comes and tells me, is the Pythagorean theorem correct? I say, yes. Are you sure? 100%. Okay, guy puts a gun to my head and says, I want you to deny it. I want you to say that the three angles add up to 195 degrees. I'll tell him whatever you want. It'll be 195 degrees. I don't. The idea of sacrificing for it. It's a truth. It's a recognized objective truth. I like knowing things that are right, but I'm not going to give my life on it. Avram, he had much suffering. He suffered or cast him. And then in Ger Ba'aretz, in the Bris Mila, and Yishmael, and Akeres Yitzchak, the reason why he withstood it is because he had a personal experience of God, not just a logical imperative. He saw clearly that Hashem sees and knows everything. That Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards for every good point. Avram certainly stood now, and he laughed at all of his previous, all his previous cheshbonos. I once met somebody who was married like 50 years, a wonderful woman, very, very special person, and a very fine marriage. And they found letters that he had written home when he was dating her. And he wrote like a list of all her wonderful milas that the Shatran told him. It included that she does very well, excels at geometry in class and plays accordion and does this and the other thing. And everyone was sitting and laughing because, I mean, all this stuff is nonsense. I mean, it's like, you're talking about a person who's a very, very special person that, but the thing before is like a laundry list of like a, it's sort of a resume of sorts, but it has nothing to do with the person. So once a person becomes person like a shpacho, all of these cheshbonos fall away. Time to leave that. So it's a merit severe lazar chachmois of a keish gong zakom doime was his chayad lavish yisis yig bechush. So, it's by the way, we give a lot of, especially by chassidim and chassidus, we give a lot of place for zkenim, for elders, and their perception of things and so on. A young person loves to debate intellectually and pattern this and that. This is right. An old person sees it as a mosa pshitasa. It's sort of course, Zekal Adam, there's no place for the debate and back and forth and snap and so on. And that's a very big difference between the person who is still in the process of getting there to the person who is there. Bet Sedek Nikra Efa Shem Hashem Elke Yisrael. Kiri'iya Zois Lanit Kol Am Acher. That's why he's God, the Israel's God, because this is a very special connection. Israel has the potential for nevuah, obviously provided that you cultivate it. But that's why Israel is God's land because of that. And that's why the people who are that level, they don't have much interest in philosophy. Even though they may be written a lot better and a lot more logically than the religious person. On the surface of it, it sounds like, wow, look, this person's exposition is so... And it doesn't even attract people so much. And that's very fascinating because there were... if we look around, what has attracted people to Yiddishkeit? So the extraordinarily well-reasoned, well-laid-out arguments of the intellectual haven't drawn the masses. It's rather people go... Someone told me, his two boys were brought up in a very well-to-do area, very, very bright boys, And they became from both. And one of them told me that, I asked them, what were your first experiences when they were young boys, like 14 years old? They would spend Shabbos or Shal Shudis or Chabad. And the Havdalah that Rabbi Blooming made was, they felt this is real. They didn't have any words for it. They just said, this is real. And that stayed. You know, in the current debates, so all the arguments in the world, all the logic, it could serve as a stepping stone, but it's not the drawing card. The drawing card is a certain hakara pnimis of Nikarim Devayemis. Okay, we'll hold it here.